So, whilst I was watching the Justice League movie recently, or was it The Last Jedi? Okay. So, I'm hip and cool. While I was listening to Ed Sheeran and Beyonce late... No, that's a meh. Okay. So while I was reading the latest Dan Bratton, no, that's not, definitely not happening. No. Okay. I give up on the pop culture references. I failed preaching 101. Get people's attention with a contemporary movie or a song or a book. You can understand why, though, because this story's a bit old. We've heard this Christmas story again and again. I've asked this question already twice today, and it's been interesting to see the response. Who's heard the Christmas story before? Show of hands. Show of hands. Oh, good. Don't be shy. Okay. Who's heard it more than 5 times? 10 times? 20 times? Any more bids? No, sorry. So I calculated, I used to have 13 parishes in rural England, and then I had 5 parishes in rural England. All of them had schools, and every year we do the round of carol services, we do the round of school services, we do the round of Christmas carol services. I've calculated that it's at least 400 or 500 times I have heard the Christmas story just since I was ordained. That doesn't include all the times going back into my childhood growing up in the church. The whole angels, manger, Bethlehem, baby Mary, Joseph thing. I've heard it so many times. And having heard it hundreds of times, it's really easy to let it just flow over me and to miss some of the really important details within what is a surprisingly profound yet simple story. I often forget the nitty-gritty of what is this account of the Nativity. So if nothing else, I plan to remember what the Pope tweeted. So there is a pop culture reference. What the Pope tweeted earlier today. If we really want to celebrate Christmas, let's contemplate this image, the fragile simplicity of a newborn baby. That's where God is. Or perhaps another tweet from an op-ed in the New York Times today. Jesus is born in the margins of society, poor and wrapped in cloth and laid in a manger because there is no room in the inn. The story of Christmas is, no matter what you think of its historical veracity, a story of God's entry into everyday life, into the dirt and sweat and blood of childbirth, into the wonder and the joy of new life, into the proclamation of the life of God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. More than that, God as one of us. In the divine life of Jesus Christ, we're shown how God engages with the reality of this world. And in the reality of our lives, that's what makes it contemporary, not all the pop references I could pick up. God is not a detached, out there or up there figure, but a God who is within and beside and surrounding us in all things. If I may side swipe just for a moment, St. John's has a reputation for being a church that is a social justice church. We aren't. We are a community of faith committed to social justice because that's where the life of Christ calls us to be. We have a reputation for being a musical church. We aren't. We are a church that believes that the life of God is found within the many musical traditions of Christianity in its many forms and over many centuries. And we celebrate that by making music part of the expression of the joy of our life together. And we are blessed in having many committed to that, including our music director and our choirs. I mean, what a setting for the psalm. Thank you very much. We have a reputation for being a liturgical church. We aren't, but we do believe that the history, heritage, and story of the Christian faith is expressed well and in a profound way in the metaphor and the meaning of prayers based on forms handed down to us over many centuries. We have a reputation for being an inclusive church. We aren't, but we do believe that the life of God is expressed in the wonderful diversity of gender identity and sexuality, in the mosaic of color and culture, language and heritage that make up this and every land. And we not only want to include, but to affirm and celebrate that diversity in who and what we are. So what I mean, finally, Rector, getting to the point, is that we, in this expression of the people of God, in this time and in this place, this wonderful and delightful and flawed and fallible and faithful and challenging and life-giving patchwork, come back. We come back again and again to this moment, this story, this celebration tonight. We see the God who reaches out to the outcasts, the excluded, those on the margins, in the story of the shepherds who heard the message of Christ and responded by getting up and moving and seeking the new life to which they were called. It wasn't the respectable who first heard the message, but those who were considered outsiders. A common theme throughout Jesus' ministry as a grown-up, as he shared the radical message of God's love and grace. We see God celebrated in song and beauty, in the glories of angels who burst through the mundane to share the creativity and the life of God and shed abroad the wonder and love of the divine without limit. We see a heritage of faith which comes out in a story rooted in the Jewish history of Jesus and of Mary and Joseph, of Elizabeth and Zechariah. A heritage of prayer and proclamation, one that continues as the song of Mary we call the Magnificat still makes up a staple of our worship today. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Mary goes on to proclaim words of prophecy, of justice, of a God who casts down the mighty from their thrones and raises up the oppressed. We see the diversity in this story of a community of faith in those who gathered around the Christ child, which is expanded, a story that grows in Matthew and Luke's Gospels. A crowd made up, potentially, of livestock, a young, possibly unwed mother and her soon-to-be refugee family, shepherds, magi from far away, perhaps even royalty themselves. And in the heart of it, the presence of these divine mythical beings we call angels who surround the scene bursting with light and song. And at the very heart, the divine in fragility and vulnerability. God opening God's self to humanity. This story is not one to be picked apart for its historicity, but to be contemplated for this meaning behind a mishmash of tradition, mixed up with different understandings of what the gospel writers are seeking to share with us. And so the reason I say that we're not a social justice, or a musical, or liturgical, or inclusive church is not that we aren't these things, but that's not all we are. We are all this and more, and must be, if we are to be the people of God in this time and place. Likewise, each one of us, different and diverse as we are, make up a glorious patchwork of life and of faith, or of seeking, or of being those loosely connected to the church, or whatever, or whoever, or wherever we are. None of us is one-dimensional, nor is the Christmas story, nor is this community. May we again, at this Christmastide, see the depth and the breadth and the life and the love of God in this celebration of vulnerability, wonder, and humanity. Amen.